week or weekend we had our Foundation 3 course, and I've got two people that just want to testify this morning just about what God has been doing in their lives over the past 2 weeks. So the first will be, because they say ladies first, we'll give any opportunity, and then Reinald. So please, you can share with us.
Morning, everyone. This weekend has been really amazing. I never really understood what Foundation 3 was all about. But this weekend, I got to discover my destiny and just my identity and what God thinks about me. And also just renouncing a few of the beliefs that I've had in the past about God and what I really thought God was about. I got to discover the true identity of God and who I am in Him. I can really confess that I've grown and I've discovered God differently, the way He regards me as His child and just how much He loves me. And I also want to thank you for the opportunity, for you traveling all the way just to spend the whole weekend with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Innie. I mean, that's wonderful and that's a blessing to hear. And Reinald has also something to share.
Thanks, Carl. Yeah, I think any experience did as well. It was my second time around with IFRI. I should have done it much earlier than I have done it again. But the first time, it was just such an amazing revelation, I would say, of just understanding who God is, really is, and not by our own concept and mind of who we think He is from a religious perspective. And this really just what F3 does. It's breaking those mindset of what you think God is and who He truly is from His Word. And it's just such a powerful thing of breaking just into your life and just shaking you awake and telling you, listen, there's more. There's more than what you think there is. And it was such a, I remember from the first F3 that I did to the second one, I just remember the blessing that we, as God's children, are supposed to walk in, the blessing we are supposed to be able to give to people around us, the blessings we must speak through our mouths. And we just realize the power that we carry, not only in our hearts, but in our mouths as well, where we speak the Word of God, where we just reveal it to people that just needs that blessing. And for me, it was such a revelation for just this weekend to understand that there's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that tree of life is so important to dwell underneath it. And I just realized when I looked at my life, but where am I? On which tree am I sitting? I just realized, but I'm not under the tree of life in every facet of my life. And the hardest for me to admit was in church. I was not under the tree of life. There was many things I was trying to produce, things I was trying to do, and it was just making me more weary than what I felt. And I just realized, God, I'm under the wrong tree. I'm not under that life that just springs forth naturally. It just gives you that fruit. It just flows forth. It's not something you have to produce. It's just something that happens. And I just had to confess and say, God, I'm under the wrong tree. And that's just something that God just so revealed to me so powerfully and say, but if you're under the right tree, it will give you just that peace. It will just allow you to do things that you... Because if you're under the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you do things by your own power, your own might, your own understanding, your natural worldly understanding and wisdom, and that it does not have a place in God's church, in His house, in your life even. And you just have to understand that who God is and how He wants you to work. And that for me, the first F3 what I did put me on a path of righteousness and peace. And this weekend was just a realization that, Reinald, you're on the wrong path. You have to come back to the path that I set you before you the first time. And you have to stay on it and keep to it diligently. And it's not works. It's such an amazing place that God just wants to bless you. He doesn't want to keep you in a place that you feel unworthy, unloved. It's just a blessing, no matter what your circumstances are. And I just realized again for my family as well that blessing I'm supposed to speak to my children each and every day. And it was such a blessing to have from Dennis and Danielu. Yeah, it was just amazing to see people that God has been using for years and years, and just the way that they still love Him, that passion that they're able to bring and instill in their hearts. And it was just such a testimony for me that I just felt I need to share with you. If you've not done F3 yet, please The next time around, don't sit back and think, must I do this? It will change your life. It will change the way that you think about yourself and the way that you think about God. It just allows you, and especially for your heart, how you want to do things. There are certain things that you cannot do, that you only have to allow God just to make it happen. And that's a place where such an amazing place where God just simply comes in and changes something that you in your own power cannot do. And that's such a privilege to see God work and how He wants to use us. And that's an amazing privilege for us as Christians to walk in, to live in, just to receive that amazing Father's heart and realize again and again and again that He loves us completely, no matter where you've been, what you've done, where you are currently. And you just have to look at your own life and ask, under what tree am I sitting? At work, at school, and just places where you just really have to ask God, God, am I in your presence? Am I experiencing that peace at work, at my home? And that's just a place where God wants to. He does not break into that. He just knocks and say, I want to come in. I want to dine with you. I want to be with you. I want to bless you there where you are. And you can experience it in every facet, which I have realized again and again this weekend, that you cannot exclude God. You are lost if you do that. And you just need to come into that presence, that amazing presence that we each and everybody have access to. So this is my testimony I wanted to share with you quickly. Amen.
It actually feels wrong, Ronald, to stop you there. I think we should actually give you another 20 or 30 minutes, and it's almost like interrupting a sermon. But thank you so much for sharing. And as I just said in the previous church service as well, you know, it's just awesome. I think that's one of the things I like as a Christian and as someone in ministry that I really love, is to see, that's almost, I want to say, one of the rewards for me is always to see how people grow or what God is doing in people's lives. And that's just amazing to see how our Father is at work in His children's lives. And I think we're going to get to that a bit later today again. I just want to once again thank everyone. Last week, our Activate Sunday, the photos are on our Shofar of Windhoek Facebook page. Really nice. I think a lot of you guys really did a lot of hard work, and it was really a blessing. We called it Activate, and I think there was a lot of activation. And today, I want to actually, say Activate number two, your other part. And it's something I believe God is working through with me at this stage. And just listening to people and here in church, looking at what God is doing in small groups, in certain ministries, in people's lives, you know, it really gives me a big smile just to see that we don't have to walk after each other with a whip like we want to and tell you must and you shall and you will, that type of a thing. But really, when it's something, you know, when I ask Reinald and Innie just to testify, or when first I asked him, how was it in Foundation 3, you know, and then there just came a stream of words. And I could just tell them, don't prepare a testimony, just keep on telling, you know, what was in your heart already. And I love it to see, I think it was, you know, past week or week ago, me and Aaron, one of our elders, had a meeting with the three people that's leading the praise and worship team. And I thought, like, now what do they want to talk about now again or something? But the amazing thing is, it was just like, they want to lift the bar. They want to raise it. It's not something I've told them, listen, pull up your socks or anything like that. It was just like, they want to run ahead and do this and do that. And I could just say, God bless you, you know, it's awesome. And thank you. And that's what I love so much about God, who's at work amidst us. Now, this morning, I really want to ask you to bear with me until everything is finished. And I want to share a few things on my heart. And as I said, I want to testify a bit out of my own life, you know. It's Auntie Doris also shared here from in the first sermon, church service, she shared a few things about a story or two of things God was doing in her life. And the thing I have to ask you this morning as well is, you know, how old is your last story? The thing that God has been doing, you know, when we ask each other in a small group or church or wherever it might be, you know, I when I was a young Christian, I had this things that happened a few times where someone asked, like, so what is God talking to you about? And I thought, like, oh, please ask the person next to me. I first have to think or go back to my diary or what is God speaking to you about, and then I have to think now, you know, and it's nice if you have something just overflowing, that stream of living waters where you can just say, well, it's maybe a bit painful, but God is dealing with this, and maybe there's a few tears, but it's for the better, or maybe God is stirring my heart for missions or this service or whatever it might be. Now, I want to read to you from Revelation 2 verse 20. It will be up there as well, Revelation 2 verse 20. That's 2 verse 2. Please go to 2 verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. Now, if you go and study, you'll see this at the top, Revelation, there's 2 verse 4, 2, 14, and a few more. You can go and study it at home. And, you know, it's that place where Jesus is writing to the churches and he's saying, listen, I've got this against you. I've got that against you. There's certain things I don't want you to tolerate. There's certain things I want you to deal with. Okay? Now, let me just take one step back. The year before, it's now already 2 years ago, I remember we were at Convergence there at Stellenbosch. Some of you were there as well. And there was a pastor called Rick Russo, and he was talking. He was teaching and preaching that one day. And then he had this story about the church in America. And this is now his story. I'm just sharing to you because I think it's it was something that touched my heart so much. And then he said, you know, the church started to build Christian schools and then Christian golf clubs and Christian this and Christian that, which isn't wrong in a certain sense, you know. But because the world is so full of sinners and bad people in a sense, you know, the church almost want to draw back, not to get polluted in a sense, you know. And then he was just sharing on that specific sermon from his own church and how he encouraged people, you know, because the calling of the church is not to make this holy huddle. It is really to go to the world, to really to preach the good news. And the good news is only good news when it's got getting shared, you know. It's the good news. If I've got it here in a secret, then it's not going to help someone next to me a lot. Okay, and then he was just sharing about how he's encouraging his church to really get into this. He talked about the stream, and, you know, sometimes if you go on missions or you're in a certain ministry, it will take some time and it will take some effort, and there might be tears or this or that. So I'm not saying this in a context of there's a bad world out there, that type of a thing. Okay, this is in a specific context, and Jesus almost have a problem with this things that the churches are tolerating. Now, you can just ask yourself, you know, if Jesus were to walk in here, he might say to us this morning, I like the coffee, the worship is good, I like your smiles, you are friendly people, etc. And then he might say to you, just like a father, maybe you should work on this, or I want to encourage you on that. You know, Jesus didn't call us to be perfect from the word go. We only see dimly in many ways, and I believe we are growing and in sanctification and those type of things. But it goes on in the book of Revelation, and I want to read to you Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16, kind of well-known scripture as well. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either hot or cold? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay, now someone blessed me here and brought me ice cold water, something really nice to drink. Someone also could have blessed me and brought me a warm cup of coffee or tea or something. But you know, if you drink water that's kind of lukewarm, it's like in between. I don't know, do you guys like drinking water that is in the middle? But this is also talking about a specific context. Now, the place where I want to go to is something I really feel God has been speaking to me and my household about. And I remember December holiday after a long year. You know, many of you might be able to relate. You know, we are sometimes tired and we think we deserve a holiday. Our family specifically, we went to South Africa, went to visit my parents-in-law. And, you know, then it's time to kind of step away from a few things, to relax a bit. And then I saw a few things in my own life, you know, in my own life, and especially in my marriage between me and my wife. Guess what, guys? We don't have a perfect marriage. I hope it doesn't shock you, but we're not perfect Christians. We're not perfect people in any way. But the point I want to get to is, you know, And that will probably be something that would have been said also in the Foundation 3. You know, as the leader of the house, as the father of the house, you know, God is starting to speak to me about certain things. Now, there's two options. You can either say, yes, Lord, I hear you, or you can do the ostrich thing. Put your head in the ground and make if you don't hear it. I think we can most relate to that. Sometimes we know there's something we need to work on, something we can do, but then it's very easy to say, maybe next time, maybe a bit later. Procrastination. I never knew what that word meant, but I think it means to postpone something, to say, maybe I'll do it a bit later. Now here, Jesus was talking to these churches and he said, there's a few things that you are tolerating. There's a few problems I have with you. There's a few things I think you need to work on. Then he goes on a bit later and he talks about the lukewarm thing. Now, December, I had that opportunity where I could either say, and it was already a few things, not major things, not life and death type of things, but there was a few things that I had to say, Lord, I want to address this. I want to deal with this. Because what happens with issues or problems if you just leave it? Does it always just go away? I wish it were. I wish it worked like that. Then I think life would have been so much easier. Then we didn't have to pray last week as a nation for problems we had. Praise God for a government that said yes to have a week of a day of prayer like we had last week regarding violence against women and things like that. I think most of you are informed. Bottom line is, issues, problems, those type of things don't just vanish. Doesn't just go away. We need to decide to deal with that. We need to talk to our friends, go to a pastor, speak to God, ask the Holy Spirit. Because I promise you almost, if you go to God and you say, Father, is there anything in my life, in my heart, that you want to talk to me about? Holy Spirit, please show me. I think there's always something God wants to talk to you about. Something you would like to stir. There's always something we can grow in. Because the way I understand it is, we're only going to be perfect when Jesus comes back. In this life, we're going to make mistakes. There's things we're going to have to work out. So, we need to address certain things. In my context, something, if my children, age 5, if they were to talk back to me in a rude way, and I just leave it, what will it be like when they are 15? If me and my wife, now, praise God, none of you are my neighbors, okay, if we were to shout at each other in a bad way, in a disrespectful way, what will my kids do? They will do the same. Monkey see, monkey do, you know. So there's certain, I'm just using those as examples about having a culture in our church, having a culture in our marriages, our relationships, where we work, okay. There's certain, might sound a bit bad, but I mean it in a positive way, labels we have, you know. If I shout all the time at my wife, then how can I correct my boys and tell them, listen, you can't speak to your wives one day like that. Daddy's doing it, they will do the same. Okay, that thing is going to rub off in many ways. So, friends, there's certain things we shouldn't tolerate. It's very easy to do that. I've got it many times wrong in my own life, where I know there's stuff I need to deal with, and then I postpone it. God, I've got a meeting today. God, I'm preaching today. God, it's my birthday, whatever it might be. And then we leave it there, and those stuff are just growing sometimes. It becomes more. So I just want to encourage us, not condemn, encourage, you know, that we sit still and take time. It was so nice. Last week, I made some time and I had a book that I wanted to read for a while now and I didn't get to it. And I promise you, it was actually our church bus had to got two new tires and I was sitting there at Firestone or wherever and I had the book with me because I knew it was going to take some time. And while the guys were putting on the new tires, I started reading. Just being out of the office, not talking to anyone. And I think I read about maybe 10 pages. And I tell you, I didn't take a book to write down a few things. I felt just God was speaking to me. I'm a pastor, but I'm God's son as well, you know. I've got a relationship with him as well, okay. And I just felt so, a few things that I just feel God wanted to talk to me about. Because many times we are so busy doing stuff, trying to please God, build a kingdom, whatever, that we don't get to a place of just sitting still. And for me, that was a moment in that 20, 30 minutes while they were changing the tires where I just could sit still. And my intention was to read a book, but God had other plan and he just wanted to deal with me regarding a few things. And sometime I'll ask my wife to testify a bit. just regarding the things I'm referring to about December holiday and a few things in my own household, our own lives, that we need to address. And I believe if our hearts are open and pure, teachable, you know, then the Holy Spirit will come and He will bring something beautiful out of something where there were maybe friction or, you know, I don't want to say disunity, but something that were an issue, okay? That's wonderful. Now, I want to continue and I want to read to you from 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days, and we're living in the last days, since Jesus died, it's the last days. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, that word, you can see that one, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Now, to me, that speaks of, you know, Paul and Timothy's opponents. It will be there. You can go to the next slide. I just want to read it to you in the exegetical meaning. Paul and Timothy's opponents have the external appearance of godliness, but they do not have its real power. And I believe it's something that we as a church, as Christians, that's something I want never to be said about myself. That's why it's so beautiful, it's so powerful, when someone can come and stand here and testify about what God did over a weekend when there was a course, or maybe even in small group or worship or intercession, and come and testify about the work God is doing. Because we've got the Holy Spirit, God is at work continuously. He's always trying, there's always something that God wants to do in our lives. We shouldn't be like a stagnant thing. There's that old saying that goes about the boat with the sails, you know, and if the boat are sailing, then it's so much easier for God to change the direction. Also, it says here, the power means the present effective working of God in and through believers' lives. Now, because God is working in and through our lives, okay, He wants to do a work in our lives. We are living stones, you know. And then He also wants to do a work through our lives. That, to me, means He wants to reach people. He wants us to minister to each other, minister to other people, love and serve. You would have seen during the tea time break, there was a basket there. I hope you were early enough to see it. Where it said, what did it say? Who saw it? Who saw it? There was, I believe it was still there when most of you came in. There was a little table with a basket. What did it say? Who saw it? I hope they didn't remove it already. It says, take a can and bless a car, God. Just a thought, just something to stir. If it was already taken away, sorry, it was supposed to be there all the time. Just a thought that you could take a can for free and it means go and give it to someone. Okay? Not to anything else, just to plant that seed. There's something we just want to put in your hand to go and bless someone else. Go and build a relationship. Go and talk to someone. You know, sometimes we think we must go with the Bible and we must preach at someone. But sometimes you can just go and bless someone. Ask them what their name is. Hear what's their story. Listen to their hearts. Okay? Make a friend. And that will become a friendship somewhere where you can disciple someone or start to love someone or reach out to someone. But bottom line is the people referenced here in 3 verse 1 to 9 claims to know God, but their lives are devoid of the work of the Spirit, which would have resulted in holiness and perseverance. Now, I'm going to continue here to a scripture you all know very well, Acts 1 verse 8, and then I'm going to do something. I want us to break up in small groups during church time, because we're not a church with small groups. We're a small group church, okay? So we're going to quickly break up for a few minutes. Let me read it to you, Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Johan, you guys can go to the next slide. Then you will see these five bullets that I've written down. And then I want you quickly, Adrian, you guys, you three ladies, Linda, you can sit with them. Maybe you guys can break up in two groups, the people at the back. Then I want you for just 3 or 4 minutes to look at those bullets, read it, and in a small group, because I want to allow the Holy Spirit also to minister while I'm not talking. You can minister anytime, anywhere, I believe. Okay? But read it and then talk to each other. It says then, Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? Just and then there's there's five bullets. Just talk a little bit about it and share a bit. What do you get out of it? What does it mean to you? Anything. Just talk to each other for a few minutes, okay? So I want no one to sit alone. I want people just in groups of three or four or five just to sit and talk to each other quickly. Okay, I'm gonna ask every group, if there's just one person, just tell me in a sentence or two, just something that you spoke to each other, something that you got out of it. Maybe we can start with your group, Adrian, you guys, maybe just one sentence, anyone. Anything that stood out for you, that spoke to your heart, anything. Yeah? Yes? Okay, so it's mostly about the gifts, something that's speaking to your heart. In this group, anyone? Anything that spoke to your hearts? Seems like a very holy group. Anything, Prisca? Anything? So the Holy Spirit does that work in our hearts that can change us. The ladies here in the front. Discernment, yeah. Guides us. Insight. He helps us a lot. Amen. He gives us revelation. Amen. The ladies there? Over sin, yeah? Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. So for those who couldn't hear, because we are blessed with wonderful rain, Sarah basically just said that the Holy Spirit helps us also to overcome sins. You know, there's definitely a difference between when you didn't know Jesus and you didn't have the Holy Spirit, and then afterwards we have the ability to deal. Etienne, I'm not going to be able to hear you guys, but I know you've got very good answers, so just bear with us. But you know, friends, the picture I almost have to, that's just my picture, to summarize this, is almost, you know, when, I don't know if kids do these things anymore, I don't know what is a kaskar, what do you call a car with wooden planks and things that boys build when they are small, and then they push each other in the road, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like being a car like that, from planks and wood, four old borrowed wheels or something. Okay, I know trolleys make very good wheels, but we'll not go into our own sins when we were young. That's in the light now. I'm forgiven. But the bottom line is, if you think of a car like that, with planks, wood, 10-year-old boys building it, and then you put a powerful V6 engine into that car, that's almost the type, then that car can go, it can pull a weight, it can go somewhere, it's strong. Okay, that's almost the type of picture for me I get when I look at that. Okay, when before we knew Jesus, you know, you could eat and you could jog and you could swim and study and do certain things. But then after you get this V6 engine, let's call the Holy Spirit, there's strength to love and overcome sin and there's discernment, and there's the gifts, and many things, okay, that gives us all these abilities to do certain things. Now, I'm going to give you another scripture too. You can just sit like that. Luke 3, verse 16. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, which we talked about, and with fire. Okay? Now, fire speaks of something that's usually of God's presence in the Old Testament time, something that cleanses us, something that purifies us. Okay? And then here, I'm not going to read it in Acts 2, verse 2. You know what happened there when the disciples or the followers of Jesus were there in the upper room. Okay, the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind, and there was like tongues of fire on the people's heads. And it speaks of God's presence, and then we see old Peter standing there up, preaching this amazing sermon. You know, that guy who failed Jesus many times, who got things wrong, okay? And he stood up, and I think 3,000 people were added to the church. Now, you know what? When it's about September or August here in Windhoek, and you just have one matchbox, and you lit a match or a lighter or something, and that flame is this big, it's powerful enough to burn this whole city in a sense. Or let's say when the grass is dry and you do it there in the Kalahari or somewhere where there's a lot of grass and there's wind, it can be devastating. It can burn many, many farms and people can die and livestock can die and vegetation and all these things. But it starts with a small fire, okay? And here Jesus said, or John the Baptist said here in Luke 3, he said, he who's coming after me, Jesus Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it's talking to me about something that will happen in our lives. Some things that you have basically testified of. Because I'm sure most of you, like Sarah, for example, didn't just give me an academic answer. She testified about something of her own life. Because she knows the Holy Spirit. Because she has the Holy Spirit. And because I know you guys and I've prayed with you and been in ministry with many of you, I know what God is doing in people's lives. Okay? So we see there this promise that was given here in Luke 3:16, that here in Acts 2, it came to pass. And it's still for me and you also today. Jesus is giving us the Holy Spirit and he's giving us the fire. Now I'm going to start to end off. So always when a pastor says that, means at least 15 more minutes. So just hang in there for a while more. Last year, we had a conference here. And it just came to my mind so powerfully last year. It was called Ablaze. And our theme was, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. That was from James 3, verse 5. I didn't exactly know how this thing that was in my heart to put it in words, in a sense. Okay? But when I look at our church, and I speak to you, I get feedback from small groups, listen to intercession, to the people at Bible school, I'm getting so excited. Because I didn't lit that fire. It's something God does. It's something the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Okay? And I believe today, I just want to sow the seed again. Last week, I want to say almost in a focusing inward sense, signing up for various ministries. And I'm so delighted about everyone who signed up. People who haven't served before said, I will serve you. I'll give my time. I'll give my effort. Thank you so much for working in the body. The thing that I have in my heart is this thing about, friends, first of all, about tolerating certain things in our lives, okay? Not just mental. You will know. I'm not going to tell you what's wrong. I know what's wrong in my life because God is speaking to me. I know about certain things I can address or work on. But the other part, that's why I said activate to your other part. That's the part outward. Now, you know the good news is the good news because you heard it. Reinhard Bonnke said, the gospel is not good news to people who didn't hear it. Now, I feel in my own life, and this is my testimony, I hope you can relate, that, and it's not a salvation by works type of a thing, okay? The more I serve in church, the more I'm busy in a sense, the more, and that's where you have to hear me carefully now, the more I'm part of the body or church, and the closer I am to God, it doesn't make me more tired. It makes me more energized, okay? Because when I'm at Bible school and I'm seeing what God is doing in someone's life, or I'm in intercession and I'm listening, these three people bringing the same word, okay? then I get really excited to see God moving. Or when, like in the break between, I was praying with someone and I could just see how the lady was testifying about what was God doing in the past year or so in her life. Then I can stand back and say, it's not the works of my hands, okay? I'm just in a certain capacity. But it's something God is doing. And that always energizes me. It makes me want to jump when I see people enjoy worship. Just because I know they have an encounter with God. It's something I can't give to them as a pastor. Now, Reinhard Bunkel also, he said here, armchair Christians receive no fire. There is no such a thing as an anointed couch potato. Sometimes people pray for fire when they are not yielded to God at all and subsequently do little for Him. They give up little time or money and render no effort. If they had God's fire, what would they do with it? Sit at home and enjoy it? The point I want to make there is, if you are excited about God's kingdom, about reaching out, and that's why I used that example about Rick Russo, not about saying, oh, guys, there's a bad world out there, there's drug dealers and stuff like that. Don't hate the drug dealer. Hate what he's doing, but love that person, okay? That's what God called us for. And we need a bit of fire, I believe, and the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why I wanted you to talk among each other about that scripture in Acts 1 verse 8, okay? Because it must be something God convicts us of. Doesn't help me just telling you, you must do ABC. It must be born out of a passion. Last week, people could willingly sign up. There wasn't like a membership list where we ticked off or anything. We don't do things like that, okay? Now, I'm talking to myself as well here. If we say, God, use me, if you pray that prayer, God is going to use you. I really believe He will. And if you say, God, I want your Holy Spirit and I want your fire, you can't give that old little car that I explained and give it that V6 engine and then park it in a garage or be an anointed couch potato. I'm so excited to see how God is stirring people's hearts. Because there's many small groups. We've got zone coaches that get to the small groups. They only report back to me. I can't get to all your small groups weekly. But to see God is definitely doing something. He's moving something. And I just want to encourage us today, you know, to yield to what God is doing. I want to quickly show you a video clip. It's going to just be 2 minutes. But it's an old DVD that me and my boys watched a while ago. Maybe someone there at the back, I know someone, whatever, will put off the lights. And it's just something that blessed me so much again. Nothing new, but that's just something God had wanted to speak to me about again. And I believe He also wants to speak to you, to us as a church, about something just, and it's a story about this old man. It's called The Secrets of, I think, Jonathan Speary, okay? And he's discipling this few boys. And just have a look there, and then we'll end off just now.
It's better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. And why? Because death is the end of every man, and the living will take it to heart. You see, it makes us think about our own life and death and eternity. That's why I come here. All right, listen.
I don't hear anything.
Stand closer to the tombstones. And listen very carefully now.
But I'm still not hearing anything.
Put your ear to the stone. Why? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Move closer. Why? Why didn't you tell me I needed the Lord in my life to go to heaven? Keep listening. I am in agony in this place. Think of everyone you love, gentlemen. Everyone you know. Even people you may dislike. And realize this. One day, every person will die. They'll either go to heaven or sadly, to hell. There's no in between, no second chance, and no one can escape this fate. Now, as for Nick, the thought that comes to mind are the words of Jesus. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. And in Matthew chapter 5,
just spoke to my heart so much. This older person, this older man, someone has walked life, and he's probably, you know, later on in the story, he actually dies. But he's got this opportunity to share with this new generation, those young boys, to share with them something, how good an example it is to take them where he took them and just to give them that feeling about the thing that I said already. The good news is only good news when it's shared. When we keep it in our hearts, when we guard it like a secret, doesn't really mean anything to anyone out there. Okay. So it's something that I believe God wants to stir in our hearts. Now this morning there's two things, and I just want to, as Aaron is gonna quickly go up there, just where you are, just close your eyes for a moment. Just let's all close our eyes just for a moment. Father, this morning, we want to come to you, Lord God, and Father, we want to thank you for relationship with you, Lord God, that you've got a massive, massive Father's heart, where we are all drawn to, Lord God, that you are our Heavenly Father, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you save us. In Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are speaking to us as individuals, that you are speaking to us as a church, that you want to guide us and that you want to lead us. That you want to show us your way. We thank you for the gifts, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you empower us to put a new engine in us, Lord God, to go to the world, to the nations, to testify, Lord, to make disciples, to make friends, Lord God. Sometimes just to give a coke to someone, build a relationship, Lord God. And in time and season, Lord God, that we can pray with people, lead them to Christ. Lord, those are the best moments of being a Christian. It's about leading someone to Christ, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, that we can just be quiet in a sense. Just ask you, what do you want to say to us this morning? Where in our lives do you want to stir? Are there stuff that we should stop to tolerate? Holy Spirit, then I pray that you give us the strength to overcome, Lord. To address the things in our households, our families, our small groups, our churches, wherever it might be, that we will stand up and say, I'm failing, I'm missing the mark, but I know my Father loves me, and I know He wants to cleanse me with His fire. And also, just as I've read in James 3 verse 5, Lord God, that a small fire can set a big forest alight, Lord. And Father, I see a lot of awesome people before me, people with V6 engines, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will just release us corporately as a church, Lord God. Not from a place of drivenness, not from a place of running after growth, but a love for Jesus and a love for the lost. Lord God, to reach out and just be used by you, Lord God. Father, I remember that day in my flat, Lord God, not even in church, when I got born again and spirit-filled. Lord, you are ready to touch us anytime, anywhere, any place. And Father, remind us in the weeks and the days to come, Lord, that through us, Lord Jesus, you can touch anyone everywhere at any moment, and that you want to. It's your heart's desire, Lord. Father, lit this fire. Holy Spirit, come and lit this fire in our hearts. While we are young, many of us, Lord God, where we are doesn't matter, Lord. Take people to a place of saying, what do you hear? And Father, that we can share the good news to as many as possible people, Lord God, in time and in season, where you lead us and guide us, that you can be glorified, Lord God, that your name can be glorified, that people can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that we can walk in newness, that we can share Sunday after Sunday testimonies about what you're doing in our lives and through our lives. Lord Jesus, you didn't call us for just a relationship between between us and you, Lord God. You said we should go to the nations. Father, and I pray for us as a church, Lord God, that we can do it with smiles and love in our hearts, not going to condemn sinners, Lord God, and hitting people with a stick and telling them what they already know, where they are wrong, Lord God. That we will start with ourselves, Lord God, and say, Lord God, I don't want to tolerate certain stuff in my life anymore. Holy Spirit, come and cleanse my heart with your fire as well. I want to invite you this morning, just as we are sitting here. If it's on your heart this morning, you feel you just want to respond to what the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to you, not what Pastor Carl has been saying, what you have been hearing in your heart today, then I would love to pray with you afterwards. Whether it's about saying yes for something, saying no to something, or maybe saying, Lord, I'm scared, I'm afraid. I've always been afraid to speak to other people or maybe even love other people because I've been rejected so many times or hurt, or maybe you can't use me. But if you feel you just want to say, Lord, come and baptize me with your fire as well. A passion for people, a heart for the lost. Then I would love to pray with you this morning. Amen.